Here is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
Stop the wedding! I want to get off!
Well, straight up, Pat, I never knew you had a sister called Peggy. And Petey has never mentioned her. Is she some sort of skeleton in your closet?
Oh, no, Mr. Whittle, nothing like that. Like you, she's been working abroad, but now she's come back home and got a flat in town.
And you say she's getting hitched up to her old childhood sweetheart in Holy Deadlock, eh?
Aye, she's marrying Bert Legg next Saturday morning, we hope.
Aye, I bet you do, after all the trouble you've just been telling me about. You must have been dead worried when she rang you this morning.
You're not kidding. When she said there'd been a mix-up over the time of the wedding, I nearly had a fit.
Oh, don't blame you. Must have been very disconstructing. Hey, what about the arrangements for the boiled ham and the boozle?
Oh, the reception. Yeah. Oh, well, we've been lucky there, Harry. As the wedding's at 11:30, we've managed to get the reception brought forward to 1:00. And we think all the guests can make it.
Oh, great. Well, here's hoping all's going to be well for Peg. I mean, it's not every day a woman takes on martial status, as they say.
Well, you're right, Harry.
There they are. 3 rich lace weavers from Nottingham. Hand over your money.
Hey, Jim, careful where you're pointing that bow and arrow. You might do someone an injustice.
I'm one of Robin Hood's bowmen in our school pageant next week. Don't move, Sheriff Sinclair. Or with one arrow from me trusty bow, I'll cut through your sporran and separate you from your kilt.
Pat, what's this wee comedian talking about?
Oh, you remember, Father. It's the historical pageant to celebrate the school being 100 years old.
Yeah, just think. It was built 100 years ago. And looking at our teachers, I think some of them did the bricklaying.
That'll do. You said something about getting your costumes today. What happened?
Well, we all got measured in Darth Dickle. Some of the costumes haven't come yet. Hey, guess what? Ozzy's Walter Raleigh and Charlie Thompson's Francis Drake. You should see their costumes. Long woolly stockings and big baggy bloomers.
Oh, don't be silly. That's what they call doublet and hose.
Well, all I can say is the doublet and hose makes Raleigh and Drake look like Laurel and Hardy.
Hey, Jim, wasn't it Walter Raleigh who stuck his top coat in a puddle to stop the Queen getting her dogs wet?
Yeah, that's right. And when Ozzy bends down to do it, I'll be standing behind him with me bow and arrow at the ready. I'll show him how to do the long jump.
You'll do nothing of the kind, my lad.
Aye, if I were Queen, I'd have you locked in the tower. Who is good Queen Bess, anyway?
I think it's Spotty Barraclough.
Well, I'm certain that in your bowman's clobber, Jimmy, you'll be a real picture of sartorical ignorance.
Oh, I'm all right. I'll be wearing me ordinary clothes, a leather jerkin and a hat with a feather in it. I'll look just like Jimmy Savile.
Well, it's not much of a costume, but when are you getting it?
I've got to go and see about it on Saturday morning.
Oh, but Jimmy, that's the day of your auntie's wedding. It's been brought forward to 11:30.
What? You mean flagpole Peggy's getting spliced in the morning?
Jimmy, now don't talk like that about your auntie.
Well, she's tall and thin, Grandad. She's 6 foot high, Mr. Whittle.
Get away, Jim. You're having me on.
It's true. After the wedding on Saturday, anybody who wants to kiss the bride will have to bring their own stool.
Look, we don't want to hear any more funny remarks about your auntie.
No, ma'am. Hey, let's talk about her boyfriend, Bugs Bully.
We'll have no funny remarks about Bert Legg either.
Hey, ma'am, I've just had a funny thought.
Well, keep it to yourself. There's a love.
Listen, when me auntie marries Bert Legg, she'll have to change her name, won't she?
That's right. What about it?
Well, instead of being called Peggy Sinclair, she'll be Mrs. Pegleg.
Come in the living room, Alfie.
Right, Susan.
Enter the lovers, Dopey and Scraggy.
Look, behave yourself. Hello, Susan, Alfie.
Hello, Mother.
Hello, Mother. Dear Mrs. Mother. Dear Clitheroe, I mean. And Mr. Sinclair. Hey, did you get my reply to the wedding invitation?
Yes, thanks, Alfie. It came this morning.
Mother, I rang Auntie Peggy from the office to say I'd fixed the taxes for the new time, and she told me something else has gone wrong.
Oh, no. What is it now?
Well, you know little Cousin Samuel and Cousin William were going to be the pages. Well, one of them can't do it.
In other words, there's a page missing.
Ah, Cheryl. Look, one of them won't be there because Billy's Billy is, I mean. He's ill. He says it's jaundice. No, not Billy. He's got it, not said it. Dr. Potter saw him. It's a funny colour. No, not the doctor, Willie. He's gone all yellow.
I always said he was a coward.
Now, just cut it out, my lad. So poor little Billy's done with yellow jaundice. What a shame.
Yes, and they want our Jimmy to take his place.
What? Maybe a page boy? I can't do that.
Jim, you should think yourself highly honourable. When you walk down the aisle as a page behind your auntie, you'll be holding up the train.
Huh? I thought you wanted a page boy, not a signal man.
Not that sort of train. Look, when your auntie goes down the aisle in a wedding dress, there'll be a long piece of stuff trailing behind her.
Oh, you mean me cousin Lily?
You know what he means, my lad. Look, you're going to be a page boy, and you're going to like it.
I'll be a page boy, but I won't like it.
Mother, our Jim has got to go down to Barrett's, the outfitters, before 6 o'clock. He'll have to wear the suit that was ordered for Cousin William, and Auntie says it'll want altering.
Oh, I suppose I'd better get down there with him.
Well, I just wanted you to look at my dress before you go. It still doesn't fit properly.
All right, love, but I won't have much time. It's 5:10 as it is.
I think it's time I went off. Well, cheerio, everybody. Best of luck with the hysterical pageant, Jim.
Thanks, Wacker Whittle. I'm sure it'll be a very suspicious occasion. Grandad, do I have to go to this blooming wedding? Couldn't I just read about it in the paper?
Oh, stop moaning about it, Jimmy. You're going. So you'll just have to make the best of it.
Yes, Jimmy. I bet you'll enjoy being a page, because I was one once, and after the wedding I presented a lucky horseshoe to the happy couple, and I said, may this horseshoe bring you lasting happiness and good luck. And the bride kissed me and said, thank you, little boy, and if we have a son like you,
that'll be the end of the good luck.
See, I'll thump you in a minute. I must have been a good page, because the bridegroom gave me a present of 5 bob.
Well, I won't get 5 bob out of our lot. Dead mingy they are. The only way I'll get 5 bob out of them is to go around with the collecting plate.
What? Betleck told me he's given the page boys 2 pounds each.
Eh? You mean I get 2 pounds just for carrying a few yards of lace curtain down the aisle? Grandad, I think I've changed my mind.
Look, the tailor said he'd attend to us as soon as he can, so just sit still and behave yourself.
I am doing. I haven't done anything naughty.
Hey, not much you haven't. You've shaken hands with the tailor's dummy and called him Ozzy. You've tried on a bowler hat and 3 flat caps. And then I caught you standing outside that cubicle where that man went in to try some trousers on. What were you up to?
Well, I was just going to give him time to get his own trousers off and then shout fire.
You little devil. I want to shout fire.
Yeah. It would have been funny if he'd come rushing out with no pants on. Especially if he'd been wearing long gums.
Yeah. Hey, wouldn't he have looked as good? Say, shut up and behave yourself.
Right, Alfie. Alfie.
What?
Do you wear long gums?
No, I don't wear long gums.
I'm sure I once saw some on your clothesline.
Ah, well, perhaps you did, but they weren't mine.
Well, whose were they?
Yeah, look, Nosey, if you want to know that, ask me mum.
Why, does she wear long gums?
Yeah, no. She washes them for me dad. Look, stop talking about long gums. You've got long gums on your brain.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting, sir. Oh, no, what was it you wanted?
A pair of long gums.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, it's not me, it's Jimmy. Go on. Now, tell the gentleman what you want.
A pair of short combs.
Hello? We're having a little joke, are we, sonny?
You what?
Now, come along, sonny. It's nearly time to close the shop. So what is it we want, eh?
Well, I don't know about you, but I want a new suit.
Look, we are in no mood for childish humour. Will you explain, sir?
Yeah, well, you see, we're Jimmy Clitheroe. Well, I'm not. I mean, my name's Alfie Hall, but you don't want to know either of us. Well, not as names. I mean, we've come to be measured for a bit of Willie Hardcastle's suit. Not both of us. I'm too old for a page. And anyway, they've got me down to be an usher. Is it an odd day?
Pardon?
Well, it's me back outside, you see. I couldn't remember whether it's odd or even, and it affects which side you stop on. And you're only allowed 1/2 an hour per hour any road, so would you hurry up, please?
Yes.
There you are, mister. Don't we wish we knew what the flipping heck we're talking about?
Hey, shut up. Do you want to get the man mixed up? Look, I'll start again, mister.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you won't. We think we have remembered the suit in question. Here it is in this box. For Miss Sinclair's wedding, alterations to be ready Friday a.m. Before we get down to the question of alterations, perhaps we would first like to inspect the apparel.
Oh, we'd be delighted. All one of us.
Behave yourself.
Here we are, Surrey, your clothes for the wedding. One pair of light blue satin knee breeches.
Eh?
One frilly silk blouse with lace collar.
Yeah, what?
One pair of white lisle stockings and one pair of shoes with silver buckles.
I'm getting out of here.
Hey, Jimmy, come back. Where do you think you're going?
Look, we thought we were getting ordinary clobber. We are not going to any wedding all dolled up like a dog's dinner.
I don't know what you're grumbling about. I mean, after all, your cousin Sammy will be wearing exactly the same.
Well, he's different. He's that daft, he'd look normal in a bikini and hobnail boots.
Now, come along, please. We are waiting to get to work.
Well, don't bother. We're going home.
Oh, Jimmy Clitheroe, I'm ashamed of us. You didn't make all this fuss when you heard about the present of the £2.
Oh, no, I'd forgotten that. If I don't show up in this lot, I've had the money. And, unless there was an accident...
Well, there's one thing for certain, Jim. If you show up in church in that get-up, the organist will stop playing the wedding march and go straight into a pretty girl. He's like a melody.
He'd better not, or he'll get the bride's bouquet right in his organ loft.
Well, you were right about your little pals. If they see you in that get-up, they'll laugh that much they'll have compulsions.
Don't worry. They're not going to see me in this monkey suit. Now, where's that bottle of green ink?
Now, Jim, don't tell me you're going to spoil your suit with that ink.
All right, I won't tell you, but I am. Listen, the house is empty except for you, me and Alfie All, and he's upstairs getting me a coat hanger for my suit. Now, when he comes down, I'll just happen to be standing behind this door, ink in one hand, monkey suit in the other, and when he opens the door, he'll jog me elbow and, hey presto, ink stains all down me petticoat.
You think you'll be able to call that an accident and get away with it?
Of course. I'll have a witness. You.
Oh, hi, I never thought... Wait a minute, Jim. I refuse to be involved. You're not going to incinerate me.
Shush. I can hear Alfie coming down the stairs, so I'd better get in position.
Oh, hello, Alfie. What are you doing upstairs?
Oh, heck, me mum's back.
I've just been getting this coat hanger for Jimmy. He's in the living room here.
Oh, good, I want a word with him.
I'm sunk. Quick, Mr. Whittle, grab this bottle of ink.
But what can I do with it?
Oh, anything. Drink it.
Oh, hello, Mr. Whittle. I didn't know you. Jimmy, what are you doing with that bottle of ink?
I'm trying to get rid of it.
Silly boy. You might have got it all over your page boy's suit.
Oh, yes. I never thought of that.
Stop worrying, Jim. And don't forget, after the wedding, there's a reception.
That's what I'm worrying about. The reception I'll get from the Black Hand gang. While you're throwing confetti, they'll be slinging tomatoes. Still in the tins.
Don't be daft, they'll throw fresh and... Get see, what am I saying? They won't do anything.
Except me. Oh, I can see it now. I'll walk out in my sissy clothes and in 2 minutes I'll look like a fruit salad.
Look...
Hello there, little
whacker.
Hi, Alfie.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
Hello, Mr. Whittle.
Come in, Bert. Your granddad told us to wait in here, Jim.
Hello, Mr. Legg. Jimmy, this is Mr. Legg, the bridegroom. The man who's invited you to the church tomorrow to be ate with tomatoes. To be a fruit side, a boot, a page.
What was that?
That was Jukebox Alfie, the lad with the long plain tongue.
Any more from you, and I'll take a pound of tomatoes myself tomorrow.
Now then, calm down, Alfie. Jim was only kidding. You shouldn't be so touched.
No, Harry, you mean he's touchy.
Do I? Oh, yeah, touchy. Sensitised. I didn't mean you were mentally defunct.
Hey, Mr. Legg, why don't you get married tomorrow night at about midnight?
Midnight?
Yes, I mean, there'd be no traffic about and...
He means it'd be dark.
Well, what's the point of getting married in the dark?
Well, nobody could see your face. I mean, when Jim came out with you and the bride, there'd be nobody throwing tomatoes at her. Jim, the page, I hope you'll be very happy.
Have you ever thought about seeing a doctor, lad?
Oh, I see the doctor every morning because he lives near it. you mean go to see him? Well, not for me to see him to see me. Of course, I see him as well, but I don't look at him. Well, I do, but, you know, not to examine him. He examines me once a year, every August, and tells me whether I'm fit. Not last year, though. No. He didn't tell me whether I was fit because I couldn't go last August.
Were you on holiday?
No, I were in hospital.
Oh, I give up.
That's what the doctor did.
Well, how are you, Harry? And how's the blushing bridegroom?
Hi, Pete.
Hello, Peter. Well, I'm badly in need of a drink. After 5 minutes with Alpha here, my head's spinning.
Ah, well, a drop of the medicine at the Rosencrown might make you feel a wee bit better.
Mr. Legg, if you're going out tonight, you won't feel very good in the morning. Why don't you have a good rest and get married on Monday, when the kids are at school? I mean, I could have the morning off.
Oh, Jimmy, it's all fixed. We've got to fly to Jersey tomorrow night on our honeymoon.
Well, why not get married when you come back?
Oh, you can't do that, Jim.
Why not?
Well, because if you're not married, you can't... having a honeymoon means it's be immortal.
Look, we must go, Jimmy, but in case things get a bit chaotic tomorrow, I'd better give you your present now. Here you are.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Legg.
I've put that £2 away somewhere safe, Jimmy. Now, come on, lads, or Bert will be married before he has his bachelor party.
OK, Peter, lead on Macduff. Fall out the stopper. Oh, it's sour for rubber. His duty's at the church. Don't leave him in the land.
Hey, well, Jimmy, you got your money all right?
Yep, hardly seems worth going now, does it?
Jimmy, you've got to go.
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't stay away, unless I was ill. And I'm not ill. Oh, not really ill. Nothing to worry about, I mean. It'll probably go off by the morning, maybe. If I'm lucky. Alfia. I think I've got a touch of distemper coming on. Oh, that joke tastes horrible. Still, I've got to have a white tongue if I'm ill. That's the first thing my granddad'll say. Let's see your tongue. I said I got dandruff. He'd say, let's see your tongue. Ooh, that's it. Weck, every time I swallow, I lose half my illness. Is there anything else? Choke on me tongue. Knuckles in me eyes. Yeah, they're red. Four red in hands, nice and damp. Now back in bed with me two hot water bottles, stick me head under the bedclothes till I hear him come in, and then do a Laurence Olivia.
Father, tell Susan to put the kettle on. I'll go and call Jimmy.
Right
here,
my dear.
Oh, good. It's me mum.
Come on, Jimmy. Time to get up.
Good morning, mum. I'm awake. I was just going to leap out.
What's the matter, son? Are you ill?
Oh, no, Mum, I feel fine. I'm just a bit warm.
Oh, your head's burning and it's all damp.
Yeah, it's leaking. I mean, it feels like water. Well, I'd better get up for the wedding.
Oh, look, you stay where you are. What you want is an aspirin and a hot water bottle to keep you warm.
If I get any warmer, I'll burst into flames. What an actor. Next week, I think I'll do an audition for Dr. Finlay's casebook.
Oh, what's all this, then? Let's have a look. Let's see your tongue. A wee bit white.
So it should be. I mean, the way I feel. Oh, are my eyes red?
Yes, they are.
Oh, good. Oh, goodness. You don't think it'll stop me going to the wedding, do you?
Nope. There'll be no wedding for you, my boy.
Oh, well, I'll just have to be brave about it, won't I?
Granddad, Mother wants you. She can't find the aspirins.
Oh, right you are, Susan. Well, we've got an invalid in our
hands. Hello, Susan.
What's wrong with you? Been stuffing yourself with sweets, I suppose.
No, I haven't, Scraggy Neck. I mean, no, Susan. I'm all right.
Are you up to something?
Oh, go on, be nasty, because I'm too weak to answer back.
What's that white stuff on your mouth? Come here.
Get off before I clout you.
Oh, you got your strength back suddenly, didn't you?
Oh, it was my final fling.
Susan, come here a minute, love.
All right, Mother. I'll close the door, brother dear. We don't want the wind to blow on our invalid.
Why didn't me mum swap her for a pup? What are they doing? Fancy leaving me alone when I'm sick.
Jimmy, I'm afraid you won't be able to go to the wedding.
Oh, Mum.
So you can't be a page.
What a pity.
So I'd better take the £2 back. Where is it?
In the drawer. Take it back.
Well, of course. They'll have to get another page, so it wouldn't be right to keep the money, would it?
You can't do that. I mean, get somebody else. It's too late.
Oh, they'll manage.
Oh, Mama, I know. I feel a bit better. In fact, a lot better. That aspirin put me right. It was very good.
It was marvellous, considering it's still here in my hand.
Oh, heck.
Get out of bed.
Yes, Mum. I'll be all right now.
So Susan was right. Two hot water bottles, you little faker. Get into that bathroom, scrub yourself from top to toe, and be downstairs in 15 minutes.
Yes, Mum.
Alfie's borrowed his cousin's old car, and he'll be taking you to church in it. And you're going to wear your blue trousers, white blouse, and stockings and buckle shoes. Understand?
All right. But when the Black Hand gang start throwing, I'll duck behind the vicar. This is one year he won't enjoy the Harvest Festival.
Come on, Father. Let's get in the taxi and go home. I'm going to give Jimmy what for.
After me, you will. When I saw him walking down that aisle in his grey flannels and school blazer, I could have crowned him with a font.
Well, come on. I told Alfie to take him home and keep him there, even if he had to sit on him.
Well, that's something Jimmy won't do. When I finish with him, he won't be able to sit down for a week.
Alfie, I think that was a knock at the front door. I'll just go and see.
Yeah, you sit down. You're not going near the front door. Susan said if I let you get away, she'd never speak to me again.
In that case, you ought to pay me to go. Well, I'll just pop upstairs to the bathroom.
Well, I'll go with you. You can't go up there on your own.
Oh, don't be daft. I'm a big boy now.
And you can stop being funny. You didn't wear your page's uniform and your mum will want to know why.
Well, is it my fault your cousin's old car got a puncture? I was only helping.
Helping? When you're helping to mend a puncture, you don't have to get under the car and start draining the engine oil all over your blue satin pants.
Hey, you won't tell me, Mum, that, will you?
Not if she doesn't ask me, but I'm making up no fairy stories for you.
I'll make them up. You just tell them.
Wait, he's still here, Pat. Right, my lad. You've asked for a spanking, and this time they're going to get it.
Oh, heck, Grandad, I couldn't help it.
Upstairs, go on.
Wait a minute, Father. Jimmy, have you an explanation?
Of course I have. If you'll only listen.
All right. I'll listen to your explanation, and then I'll spank you.
Well, I had to come back and change, because I got oil all over my wedding clothes off Alfie's cousin's car.
You mean there was oil on the seat? Is that true, Alfie?
Well, if he says...
Yes, there was, remember? You wiped the seat, Alfie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did have to wipe oil off the seat where Jimmy sat down in his oily trousers. Oh, my foot!
Sorry, Alfie. I was aiming for your mouth.
Now, just a minute. Alfie, did he get oil in his trousers from a seat?
The car broke down.
And I had to get under the car, that's right. Alfie couldn't have squeezed under, could you, Alfie? Remember, you've still got one foot to go.
No, but I couldn't have got under, not without jacking it up.
Well, I suppose we'll have to accept that. But it's marvellous how everything works out the way you want.
Well, it's true, ma'am. I got under and loosened the nut and the oil came out.
But, Alfie, why didn't you jack up the car and get underneath yourself to mend it?
Oh, be daft. You don't need to get under a car just to mend a puncture. You owe me foot!
Alfie, what happened to Jimmy's clothes? I want the truth, please. No shielding him.
Hello, folks. Can I come in, or is it something private you're discussing?
Mr. Whittle, come in. Ma'am, it's Mr. Whittle. Good old Mr. Whittle. Well, you'll want to talk private now, so I'll go. See you later, ma'am.
Come here, you. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Bottom of what?
Of me, with a slipper.
Oh, well, if this is a private quarrel, I won't interspace myself in family confirmations. I just come round to deliver this note.
A note? Who from, Mr. Whittle?
A little fat geezer who was knocking on your door while you were out. Oh, yeah, Treadmill it was.
No, Mr. Treadwell, our headmaster. He's little and fat.
That's it, Jim. Treadwell. Spoke with a very funny accentuation.
Oh, no, Father. Read this. It's poetic justice.
What? Oh, that's rich. That's lovely. Jimmy, you don't need to worry. I won't spank you now. I won't need to.
Well, what do you mean? What is it?
Look at it. It's about your costume for the pageant.
What? Let me see. Oh, what a rotten trick.
Aye, and you'll be there, my boy, if I have to carry you.
But what's up, Jim?
It's as good as a death sentence from the Black Hand Gang. They'll throw the fruit stall at me.
But what are you on about?
Me costume for the pageant. Mr. Treadwell says I'm not a bowman. I'm blooming good Queen Bess.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Brian Truman as Harry Whittle and the tailor, and Fred Gaunt as Bert Legg. The recorded program was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
Oh, what a time I had at the pageant. I was in front of Ozzy and Charlie, and all the way they kept calling me Good Queen Bessie Braddock and shouting, "Go on, girlie, do the rumba and let's see your bustle wobble." Still, I got me own back when Ozzy put the cloak on the ground and said, "Come on, Lizzie, step on it." I did, right on his hand.